Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is a somewhat cloudy morning here in the Shenandoah Valley, but on this Monday morning, I am happy to be with you, and I am grateful for the opportunity that the Lord has given me to be here. And no matter whenever you are or wherever you are when you happen to be joining me, I'm glad that you are here too. I realize that again, some of you are going to be on here live. I see a couple of you have joined already. Welcome. Hey, Stacy. Good morning. But others, I know that people are finding this all over the place, especially online. Hey, Alice. I think that others are joining in too. But again, welcome to you whenever and wherever you are. I'm excited about today because we come to one of my favorite parables. It's not that there's a ranking system or anything like that, but it's okay, you know, as you go through the Bible to appreciate or enjoy one section more than another. It doesn't mean that the others aren't equally important. It doesn't mean that they aren't equally applicable. I think that it's just fine if there are certain parts, certain sections, certain stories, certain parables that you happen to enjoy more than perhaps others. And we come to one of those today. We're in the book of Matthew again. So go ahead and turn to Matthew with me. We're in Matthew chapter 20. And in case you haven't realized, we're making our way through Jesus' earthly ministry. We haven't been paying much attention in the background to everything that Jesus is facing here, but realize that a lot of things are going on. Jesus is telling these parables as his earthly ministry is developing. Remember that. And that means that he's doing all sorts of things in terms of fulfilling prophecy that's necessary, that needs to be fulfilled before he can be crucified and resurrected and go back to heaven. Remember, Jesus' earthly ministry is not just about the things that he taught. It's about the things that he did. As he's fulfilling these prophecies, he is also keeping the law perfectly. And remember, sin, keeping the law, it's not just about what you do physically. It's about what you go through spiritually, emotionally, all of those things, right? It's not just what you're not supposed to do. Fulfilling the law on Jesus' part is doing all the things that he's supposed to be doing. So Jesus is accomplishing all of these things. And in the midst of all of this, as he's performing these miracles, which I like the Gospel of John because John refers to the miracles as signs, right? The signs point to a much larger reality, a much more important reality. Not that it wasn't important that Jesus did the miracles, but they pointed to the kingdom of heaven and the things of God happening here on earth. But as Jesus is doing these things, he's gathering crowds. Don't let it be lost on you, in fact, that if you're going to feed 5,000 men and all of their families, you tend to garner a gathering. You know, people haven't changed. we have this natural inclination towards, okay, if somebody's given something away, I'm going to take it. But also, when something amazing happens or when something even abnormal happens, we want to see it. We want to know what's going on. And so Jesus is gathering this massive following of people. They're going around with him. And the fascinating thing is it doesn't matter if it's with the Jews or it doesn't matter if it's with the Sumerians. People are following him everywhere he goes. And along the way, Jesus is handing down these teachings. Who are they for? Are they for his disciples? Or are they for the crowds? Many times the answer is yes. Jesus teaches in parables, right? He uses these parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or earthly language that represents something in a symbolic fashion that is heavenly related, right? Jesus uses these things throughout his ministry to teach both those that have gathered around him to convey meanings to them, but also to convey deeper meanings to his disciples. As we have seen throughout this, you know, Jesus will drop these parables, and some of them have been much more transparent and understandable than others. But Jesus will drop these parables, and then in several times we've seen that afterward, his disciples will come to him and they'll say, all right, now, of course, I'm paraphrasing, but they'll say, all right, now, tell us what this parable meant. And then Jesus will use that to go on and tell his disciples the real meaning of the parable. Doesn't always happen with the people. but it does happen with his disciples. So, dual purpose kind of thing going on. And it should not be lost on us that in the Lord's sovereignty and wisdom, he knew that these things would be recorded in his word. After all, he breathed out this word. So, he's teaching the crowds, he's teaching his disciples, and amazingly, wonderfully, he's still teaching you and me today through these things and all those that have come before us and all those that are going to come after us, right? So that's what Jesus is doing here with these parables. And it's okay, again, to have some that you enjoy more than others, because the reality is that the parables point to all sorts of spiritual realities. Think about what we've gone through so far. Jesus has covered a wide array of topics, right? And so he comes to another topic again today. He's continuing on with the agricultural theme, right? He's continuing on with a type of parable that people would have understood. Remember, this is an agrarian society. Certainly there are people that don't work in agriculture, but a lot of the people that Jesus would have spoken with would definitely understand this parable. Even those that didn't work in the agrarian society, because of how the setup went for hiring out workers to work in your vineyard. Speaking of that, Matthew chapter 20 is where we are today. So, turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 1. Before we even get started, some things in here, some practices will sound weird, but rest assured, what is being described here would be a typical day. All right. When I start reading, we're going to see that a landowner goes out early in the morning to hire men for his vineyard. It's a day worker kind of scenario. Yes, there would have been some regular workers, but the idea of a farmer going out and hiring people specifically for that day, especially during a time of harvest or in a time of great need, typical thing. He would go to the marketplace because that's where the people were. They would be waiting. The men would be waiting to be hired on for a job by someone. And that's the scenario that's described here. And by the way, that still goes on today, especially in certain segments of society. So, Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, it's going to start. Jesus is going to start like he does with most of his parables. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Right? All right. Remember, that's what Jesus is doing here through these parables. He is using these parables to point to different aspects of what the kingdom of heaven is really like. Number one topic Jesus talked about. Verse 1, chapter 20 of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them about into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. And pause right there. All right, let's frame this a little bit. Like I just said before we started reading, this is a commonplace occurrence. Okay, this is how things worked at that time. The landowner goes out. Our passage says early in the morning, but then in verse 3 it talks about him going out at the third hour. This is kind of a 12-hour workday, right? 6 o'clock would have been considered early in the morning. The sun is just about to come up, or would have just come up. It's time to start working. You work from sun up to sundown, right? So he goes out early in the morning, probably around 6 o'clock in the morning, to go out and to hire some workers. So, do the math, right? If he goes out early in the morning and that's 6 o'clock, about the third hour would make it almost 9 o'clock, right? And we do kind of get this aspect of bargaining with the first group. It says in verse 2, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. Don't make too much out of that, okay? A denarius for the day, that would have been the daily wage. All right, it wouldn't have been a crazy high amount. It would have been a crazy low amount. The worker or the owner is doing what is right. You know, when in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talks about, "Give us this day our daily bread." Elsewhere, we find out about how evil it is to hire on workers and not give them their daily wage. Realize that this was such a poor society that really the daily bread that someone would be able to purchase, the daily wage, that was the denarius, okay? So that's what's going on here, right? So he goes out at 6, hires workers, goes out at 9, and he doesn't say he's going to give them a denarius. because they're going to only work part of the day. He just says, I will pay you whatever is right. And then it just says, so they went. So they trust him. Continue on. We're still in verse 5. It says, he went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. So if it's the sixth hour, it's noon. And then the ninth hour, it's 3 o'clock. And it says the same thing. So again, it's the scenario that he tells them, come on, work, and I'll pay you whatever is right. And then they go. All right. And then verse 6, about the 11th hour, he went. So the 11th hour makes it 5 o'clock, all right? What does that mean? It's almost quitting time, right? Almost quitting time. All right, about the 11th hour, verse 6. He went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Verse 7. Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So, when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give to the man who was hired the last the same, or excuse me, I want to give the man who was hired last the same I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. All right, and that's where we're going to stop for today. Now, let's take this from a very simple approach. What's going on here? Again, as we read, we kind of explained the scenario. It's not difficult to understand the scenario that's happening. The guy owns a vineyard. Maybe it's harvest time. There's a lot of work to be done, so he's going out and he's hiring people to come in, and he hires them throughout the day. The only abnormal thing about this is the generosity of the vineyard owner. Right? I mean, that's what is abnormal. It's not abnormal that he pays the first workers the same. Or it's not abnormal that he pays them what he agreed to pay them. That was the deal. Right? What is abnormal is how generous this landowner is. But what's really the point behind all of this? Well, what we ought to come away with this, first off, is realize that what salvation is and what Christianity is. Don't let it be lost on you that this is a work-based scenario, right? Not that the workers have to earn it. It's not that. Yes, that's the example that is used. But realize that when you're called by the vineyard owner, which most certainly represents God, you are called for a purpose, right? You're hired on, right? You don't do any work to be hired on, but you are hired on for a purpose. And the scripture points to this in so many places. I love the way that Ephesians 2 talks about this, right? That you have been saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves, that it's the gift of God, so that no man may boast. But Paul also says that you have been saved to do good works, which have been prepared in advance for you to do. And even using this metaphor, you know, Jesus talks about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then he says to pray that the Lord would find more workers to bring in the harvest, right? So, let it not be lost on us, first and foremost, that we are saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to work in the Lord's vineyard. But, also we need to realize, number two, our reward does not match our work. Why? Because, y'all, heaven, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven here. Heaven is not a works-based righteousness scenario. The workers are hired and are placed in the vineyard before they've ever done anything. All right? They didn't have to perform some kind of trial to be hired by the landowner. Okay? Again, do they work? Yes. But it's not that they work their way into employment. They work because they have been brought under employment, okay? And I reward the payday, if we want to use such terse language, which most certainly is referring to our eternal reward. Our payday is not based on how hard we work. Our payday is based on the generosity of the landowner. Our eternal reward is not based on what we've done to get it. It's based on God's mercy and His love. And that's important. The reason it's important is we can get things mixed up. And when we get things mixed up, we end up in this scenario that's being described here. You know, again, with the understanding that heaven is not anything that we have earned a right to, if we get this mentality that, oh, okay, because I've been part of the working crew longer than others, then I ought to get be paid more. I ought to receive more reward for this thing. That's a dangerous idea. And the reason it's dangerous is because the salary that we get or the reward that we get becomes about our performance instead of about God's generosity. We can be just like these workers that were hired on first. It can be our temptation before we actually receive our pay. And if we want to be true to the metaphor that's used here, true to the parable that's used, the grumbling takes place before payday actually comes. Right? It's time for them to be paid, but before they get their pay, they're grumbling with each other. We do have that inclination, you know. We have that inclination when we look at the world around us and when we see the wickedness that's going on, and then when we have a hard time, we think, well, what, God, come on now. Maybe you are above this. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There have been times where regular common occurrences happen to me, and I get frustrated because I'll admit it. It's, well, I thought I belonged to God. I'm not supposed to be going through this stuff. And if that sounds wicked or terrible, you're right, it is. Because I don't have any right to have that inclination. But that is a natural inclination that rests inside of us. That is borne out, in addition, by some of the stuff that you see preached, especially on a national scale. You can call it lots of different things. The health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, the idea that if you know the Lord, life is supposed to be easy. Look, there's preachers that have made lots and lots of money and have sold millions of copies of books talking about living your best life now and being favored just because you're a child of the King. And while it's true that ultimately we receive favor because of that, we receive reward, it doesn't mean that life is not going to be a struggle. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face hardship. And furthermore, it doesn't mean that just because you know the Lord, you have some kind of right to transcend the effects of sin in the world. And definitely, it doesn't mean that because you know the Lord, you don't have to face the consequences of your sin and your poor decisions. You know, a lot of times we talk about sovereignty and we talk about this grand plan, but sometimes we need to talk about poor decisions and how if we make them, we're going to face the consequences for them. I speak from experience, okay? I'm just trying to keep it real with you. The temptation that we face, and this is the fascinating thing, it doesn't matter when we're hired on as workers, if we're going to use the parable language here. It doesn't matter when we become believers. The temptation that we all face is to be those workers that were hired on first. Because our most natural inclination is to ask the question, what's in it for me? What about me? Where's my reward? What do I get? What's coming to me? This is a dangerous question to ask. It's dangerous because the only reward that we have coming is not based on us. It's based on the work of Jesus Christ. It's based on the generosity of God, the mercy of God. It's not based on us. And besides, the last thing I want to point to in this parable is the simple idea of perspective. You know, again, I think if we did a poll with people, a lot of times folks would say, would identify with those first workers. Oh, yes, I've been faithful. Now, I know there are exceptions, and you may be one of those. But a lot of times, especially if church has been a regular part of your life, if you don't ever remember a time when you weren't in church, if you've been faithful, if you've done a lot of different things for the church, I'm not denigrating that. Thank you. That's a wonderful thing to do, and it pleases the Lord. But when we've been in it for the long haul, we tend to identify with those first workers. But the reality is this. Y'all, nobody knows what life holds. Life is so short. Life is so brief. And we take day-to-day living for granted as if we're just going to wake up tomorrow morning and we're going to go about our day and go to sleep tomorrow night and then we'll get up and we'll do it all over again and life will just continue on and we'll all live to be a ripe old age and then go home to be with the Lord. That's just, for most people, that's just the natural inclination. But the reality is that we don't know what we're really going to face in life. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to point to God's mercy and just how much God does to protect you. Things that you and I, He protects us in ways we don't even know about. Ways that until we get to heaven, we'll never see. God does that. And with that understanding, but also combined with the fact that how sin really works, you know, none of us are really the first hour workers. It doesn't matter when you were saved. All of us were pulled back from the brink of destruction when we were saved. So instead of being those first hour workers that are grumbling, saying, oh, we ought to have more coming our way, all of us should have the surprise and the delight of the worker that was hired on at 5 o'clock to work for 1 hour but still received his reward. Because think about it. In terms of this salvation that we enjoy, there really is only one person ever that has been the worker all the way through. And it ain't you, and it ain't me. It's Jesus. The reason the gospel works, the way that we can have this salvation, is not because of what we have done. It's because of what He did. It's because of His works that have been placed on our account. So, what do we do with this thing? Number one, we watch ourselves. Do some serious evaluation. Are you that 6 a.m. worker that's asking the question, hey, when do I get mine? What's in it for me? If so, watch out. Be careful. But number two, let this spur you on towards gratitude, thankfulness for what God has done. And number three, let it shape you in terms of how you view yourself, in terms of how you interact with others. Because, y'all, there is nothing as poor as a testimony of somebody that thinks he or she has earned their way into heaven. Because that doesn't become a gospel of grace. It becomes a gospel of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and get to work. And guess what? That ain't the gospel at all. That's not the message of Jesus. And it's not the message that the world needs to hear. So, keep these things in mind. We're done for today. We will pick up tomorrow and go to another parable. Again, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time. And I'll look forward to seeing you again, Lord willing, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that you have hired us on. Oh, Father, we don't deserve to be a worker in your vineyard. We did nothing to receive the hire. We're like those that are just standing around. That's us. But you came to us. You worked your way to us. You saved your people. Help us to be grateful. Help us to keep these things in mind. Help us to avoid the temptation of believing that we got something coming to us based on how hard we've worked, when in reality we are but sinners saved by grace. And Father, in light of these things, help us to be ready to take this message of peace and reconciliation to others. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time. I hope you have an excellent day, and I will look forward to seeing you, Lord willing, tomorrow morning. Thanks very much. Oh, wait. I almost forgot. All right. So we are not opening. I'll have more details on this, still working out a few of the details. Church does not start back a week from yesterday, but in 2 weeks, June 28th, we will start back meeting in person. So that's the big announcement for today. June 28th, we will have church in person. We'll have a service at 9 a.m. and a service at 11 a.m., but I will have more details on that coming. Thanks very much. We'll look forward to seeing you soon.